Good morning. Kenny told me a few months ago, he said, now one of these Sundays I'm going to call on you to introduce services. I said, well, I don't know about that, Brother Kenny. He said, well, it says over in 1 Peter 3:15 to always be ready to give an answer to the hope that lies in you. But it also says to do it in meekness and fear. I got the fear part down this morning. And hopefully the meek part. But hope that's the spirit that I come to you in. You know, that's what all Paul really knew to do whenever he was called before Agrippa, was just share the hope that was in him. He was called in Acts 22 and in Acts 26. He said, here's what happened to me. I was going down the road to Damascus. The Lord struck me. And then he told his story. And really all I'd have to you to tell you this morning is maybe a message of hope that I might be able to encourage me and all of us here. You know, I remember that old movie Kevin Costner was in where he was a postman, you know, things the world had gone down. He was a postman. He just started wearing his postman deal and became the postman. And y'all might have seen that. But one thing that was talked about in there, this lady says he hands out hope like candy. And I've never forgot that. I'll give you another one out of Shawshank Redemption. When old Morgan Freeman was going down to Zihuatanejo, he was on that bus. He said, I'm so excited I couldn't sit still in my seat or hold a thought in my head. He said, it's the kind of excitement only a free man knows. And Wendy said, you know, hope is a good thing, maybe the best of things, and a good thing never dies. You know, when we talk about something never dying, we're talking about something eternal, aren't we? And, you know, we don't talk a lot about hope here in the Primitive Baptist Church as much as I think we should. Because we talk a lot about grace and we talk a lot about faith, but I don't think that we emphasize enough about hope. Hope is a very valuable thing. I'd like to go for a minute over to Romans 5 and 3. It's a section of scripture that my dad used to talk about a lot and y'all are familiar with. But it emphasizes the value of hope in our life. But it's talking about tribulations. And it says, for we glory in tribulations. And my dad, you say, how can you do that? How can you glory in tribulations? Well, it's not an easy thing to do, and it certainly seems like a contradiction right off the bat to glory in tribulations. But you know, we have a lot of promises in the Bible. I saw somewhere where it says there's like 360-something, over 300 promises of God in the Bible. You know, that if we'll draw nigh to him, he'll draw nigh to us. And that he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. And he said, come to me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. The Bible's full of promises God has made to us. It says in Titus 1 and 2, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. In hope. So there's a lot of promises, but let me tell you another promise that's in there too. I believe it's in John 6, where he says, in this world you will have tribulations. James said, why do you think it's strange when these fiery trials come on you? Why do you think this is so strange? God promised in this world we will have tribulations. He said, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. So he's talking about being cheerful in tribulations. Paul's here is talking about glorying in tribulations. Now, how can we glory in tribulations? It says we glory in tribulations because tribulations worketh patience. First, he says, not only so, there's a few verses ahead of that there. It says we're justified by faith and so forth. And, you know, another place says we're justified by hope. We are justified by faith, but it's not our faith, it's God's faith, you know. But here's the thing that we need to understand, get this faith out of the way, because that's what hope is made of. Hebrews 11:1 says, the substance, faith is the substance of things hoped for. So hope is made out of faith. So in order to have hope, we have to have some faith. If it wasn't for God giving us a measure of faith, there'd be no way we could have any hope. And a lot of people say, well, it says, Bible says, faith cometh by hearing. Well, faith does come by hearing. You know, I used to have a dog named Frisky. And when I'd say Frisky, he'd come. But me calling Frisky didn't create that dog. Just like the gospel talking to you doesn't create your faith, but it does make our faith come, doesn't it? So let's get that out of the way about this faith deal. So we glory in tribulation, called tribulation worketh patience, and patience worketh experience, and experience worketh hope. So here's this formula that Paul gives us in our tribulations to work through these tribulations. And if we let this, now see, this sometimes on some people's part could be a passive thing, but I believe it's something we're supposed to work at. Sometimes we don't talk about what we're supposed to work at often enough either. So we're supposed to take this tribulations and somehow out of it worketh patience. Now let me tell you about tribulations. All I can tell you is my experience, but when I've had tribulations in my life, it's always been due to, well, things happen for several reasons. Some things happen because they're God's will. Some things happen because they're my will. And some things just happen. Now, I run on self-will a lot, so I have a lot of tribulations that I cause on my own. But most of the time, I'm not going to say that God has caused a lot of these things to happen to me, but I know that when they do happen, He gets me in a position. See, God's got something He wants to tell all of us. He's got a message for each one of us. You know why? He's our Father. He's our Father. You ever wanted to tell your kids something, just felt like you couldn't? My kids just ain't talking to me. Don't you know God feels that way when we're running around down here and not tuned into what He wants to tell us? And a lot of my tribulations have been to get me in a position to where I would listen to God. Where I was absolutely at my wit's end. Old Brother Crane used to tell me, you know where God lives? And I said, well, I don't know what you got. He said, He lives at your wit's end. That's where God lives. And there's a wit's end psalm in Psalm 107:27. They were stumbling around, drunk, and they were at their wit's end. They prayed and God delivered them. So God's has always had to get me in a position to where I had nowhere to look but up, where He could tell me what He wanted me to hear. And whenever I was able to take that tribulation and by doing that, seeking God and turn it into patience, then that patience became absolute experience that I could benefit from, and that experience came to hope. Now, what's the benefit of hope? It said, hope maketh not ashamed. Have you ever done anything you were ashamed of? I've done some things I'm ashamed of. Now, Jesus said He was tempted in every way just like we are. But did He ever feel shame? I mean, what could He have done that He felt shame? So if I'm feeling shame, how can I know that the Lord knows what I'm feeling? Well, let's see what it says in Hebrews. It says, wherefore, 12th chapter, it says, wherefore, seeing we also are encompassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and run with patience the race that's set before us, ever looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame. He did it for the joy that was set before Him. So yes, He knows what shame feels like. He knows what we feel. He knows what we need before we ask. But now, did Paul ever have any tribulations? Man, you know, you can go. Let me just go here for a minute. I still got about 7 minutes here. And let me get over here and let's see what he says in Corinthians. You know, here's another thing. I better get on over here before I get off on something else here. I got another thing I want to tell you. He says, Oh, 2 Corinthians, that's what I mean. 2 Corinthians, in the 11th chapter, he says, of the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods, once was a stone, thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day I've been in deep, in journeyings often, in perils in waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, perils by heathen, perils by city, perils so forth, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. I'd say that was some tribulations. Then over in chapter 12, he says in 2 Corinthians, he said, "Lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me above, lest I should be exalted above measure." Now this thorn he had in his flesh buffeted him on a daily basis. Paul had tribulations on a daily basis. And he prayed for God to remove the thorn, and what did God say? God said, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore," he said, "I take pleasure in my infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, and in distresses for Christ's sake, for when I'm weak, then I'm strong." See, tribulations gets me where I'm not dependent on myself to carry me through. I have to be dependent on God to carry me through, and His grace is sufficient to do that. For when I'm weak, then I'm strong. You know, for Kenny to call on anybody, I mean, I think he got that scripture, "If you done unto the least of them." So I think he called on me because I'm the least of my brethren, and I don't feel worthy to be up here, but I do want to give an answer for my hope. And, you know, the true thing is that the Word of God is alive. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharp as a two-edged sword, able to divide the soul and the spirit, it said. Now, why would we want our soul and our spirit divided? Because, see, and this is the way I understand it, it makes sense to me. I've heard it a lot of different ways, but man is three parts. We're our body, we're our soul, and our spirit. Now, the soul gets in the way a lot of times of my spirit, see, because my soul's in my emotions and my will and my personality and my intellect. And because I think I'm so smart, I can't really, those things block the sunlight of God's spirit flowing through me that is able to heal me. And so sometimes I have to get in the Word, not sometimes, I have to get in the Word in order to cut out that soul from interfering with God's Spirit in me. Now, you know, there's a parable that says the kingdom of heaven is like a pearl, a great price. Merchant man looking for a pearl, a great price. And when he found it, he went and sold all he had so he could have it. And then it says the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man finally goes sell all he had to buy the field so he could have this great treasure. And that treasure, you know, my dad used to talk about how the kingdom of heaven is a church, and the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God are really kind of interchangeable. Matthew uses the kingdom of heaven because he didn't want to offend the Jews in the synagogue there, and so he called it the kingdom of heaven. But it's interchangeable, kingdom of God. Luke says that it's not something that we can look at or touch or feel. The kingdom of God, don't say, "Lo, here it is, and over there it is." The kingdom of God is within you. So I have this kingdom. We have this kingdom of God in us. We can read over where our body is the temple of the Spirit. So we have the kingdom of God in us. That's one way to look at this parable. I like looking at it like that. It's also the church. But once we figure out how to get rid of the things that are blocking us, our intelligence, our self-will, our emotions. You know, I used to go to some church services when I was in prison, and they were all different kinds. You couldn't be real choosy as to the type of service you went to. And I noticed a lot of times whenever, you know, when they'd have the altar call, most of the time it'd be the same guys every time coming down, you know. And then the churches would go back and say, "Oh, we had a great altar call." And they didn't know that all those same guys came down there the week before. But the thing about it was I noticed what drew them in for the most part was an emotional sermon. And they would get them all stirred up emotionally, and they would respond emotionally. But when they got back on the compound, they were doing the same old things they'd done before. Gambling and this and that. You know what I mean. But we can't have something that appeals to our emotions, because as emotional beings, we cannot trust our feelings. But we can trust the Spirit of God. That's what we can trust. And how we can trust that is get into the Word and find out about it. Now, let me make one more point. I'm going to close. This is, you know, a lot of times we have to pray for the Lord to open our eyes. And Ephesians 1 says, open the eyes of my understanding. You know, in 1 Kings, Elijah had the little servant. And the little servant, they were at Dothan. And the Syrian army was gathered all around. And this huge army with chariots, horses, and the little servant told Elijah, or Elisha, whatever. He said, I'm scared. And Elijah said, Lord, open his eyes that he may see. And so he opened his eyes, and there were chariots and horses all around. He says, oh, see, he says, those that are with us are more than those that are against us. So sometimes what we need is to have our eyes open and our spirits enlightened. And I believe one of the main ways to do that is get in the Word and stay in the Word and let the Word rejuvenate us. You know, it says, outward man perishes day by day, but the inward man is renewed daily. And, you know, it says, I beseech you by the mercies of God to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto him, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to the image of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's all I've got, Kenny. Come in.